This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the 8 a.m. hour of Montana Talks. This is John Jackson, and you're not going to believe who I have in the studio right here face-to-face is the world-renowned George Blackledge, the man with a voice that charmed millions, the perfect radio voice out there. Good morning, George. How are you?
Well, I can't live up to that. I think I better just go. Mic drop. But, hey, it's good to see you, John. It's great to see you in here filling in for Aaron. It's nice. I was on the way in today, and I was like, hey, all right. So that's great.
Oh, yeah, it is one thing to be in here as a guest, as you know, but a whole other thing to fly the plane solo.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Because I know you've been doing it for years. So
yeah.
I mean, it's a whole other animal.
Well, there are still days I walk in and look at the board and think, oh man, 4 hours of this? Can I do it? So, and I don't always do it great. I tell you, Aaron's the best, and I just try and keep dead air from happening. You know?
Well, see, I was telling Caden this morning, this is the first time I think I've ever seen the Montana Talks desk here empty of all the thousands of papers that Aaron has up here. I don't know how. And he'll say, I have this story right here, foof, and he'll pick it right up. I have no idea how he does it.
Yeah, I know. That is something. And every now and then I'll see him, he'll be really looking for something during the break, you know. It's like, so he's not always perfect, but, you know, with all those papers, it would be hard to do anyway.
Well, see, I think the genius and the experience of Aaron is that, like me, I've got my stuff written down here, and I'm ready to talk about that. But if I couldn't find something like that you're pointing out, then I'd have a brain lock for like 5 seconds until I could figure out what's the next thing. But see, Aaron can just just go right on to the next thing. You don't even know that he had a brain lock.
Well, he's so smooth at it, he'll make me forget what we were getting ready to talk about. He'll just switch gears, and I'll be walking out going, oh, we didn't talk about this. That's what I wanted to talk about, you know, but... Yeah, it's fun. It's fun doing a show with him. It's good to see you here, too. So there's a lot going on in the news. There's a lot. And it's frustrating. And it kind of gets you fired up, you know?
And what you got? What's firing you up?
You know, one of the things I think that really gets me right now is I always talk about how members of Congress and politicians in general, and I'm not picking a side. I don't care because they're both sides are guilty of a lot of this stuff. But this former Nancy Pelosi bill that now is renamed, and I don't know how that happened or who made that happen, but somebody did, said, you can't name that after her. What are you doing? But the result is the same, and that is to keep members of Congress from investing while they hold office. And I'm all for this. I think this is a great idea. And when I was coming in, I was listening to the Fox News break, and it talked about you know, how wealthy she's gotten in a very short period of time. You know, it's incredible. And she just says, so what? You're not going to do anything to me.
$413 million is what her net worth. $413 million.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I understand, you know, well... It's just too coincidental. Let me just put it that way.
We'll be right back with George Blackard.
It's August 1st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is known as Doggus First. It's the universal birthday for shelter dogs, set in 2008 by North Shore Animal League America. George R.R. Martin's Game of Thrones debuts in 1966. Decades later, was turned into a smash TV series by HBO. Anne Frank was just 15, hiding out in Nazi-occupied Holland with 7 others in a secret room. Writes her last entry into her diary. She died in 1945 from typhus at Germany's Bergen-Belsen concentration camp. Born on this day in 1819, the author of Moby Dick, Herman Melville. And Francis Scott Key in 1779, he wrote the national anthem.
And the rocket's red glare.
The country singer Luke Bryan doing the honors at the 2017 Super Bowl on Fox. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Mom, is this how you feed a hamster?
I think so.
Is my homework right?
I think so.
Is this milk still good?
I think so.
When it comes to parenting, sometimes it's okay to think you know. But when it's something as important as your child's car seat, don't just think. No. Double check if your child is in the right seat for their age and size. It'll help protect them in a car crash. Don't just think. No. By visiting nhtsa.gov/the right seat. A message from the NHTSA Ad Council.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back here. We have George Blacker, the man, the myth, the legend, in the studio with us here this morning. And we were talking about before the break this insider trading that is just, like what we said in the previous hour, this is just big, it's just commonplace now. And you have guys like Dan Crenshaw last year was just angry as hell that how dare you say that we can't trade. We need that money to be able to live and work here in D.C., and we're underpaid, and you know we need the ability for this legalized bribery. What's the matter with you people, right? And we all know this is what they do. Like I said, it's legalized bribery, but you have some more details on the proposed bill?
Well, a few, but, you know, Crenshaw was a big disappointment to me. I had high hopes for him. But, you know, I don't know. You get up there and you suddenly become a different person. But, you know, some of the questions are, in the language of the bill states that no member of Congress or their spouse shall invest. So you can't, you or your spouse. It doesn't say anything as far as children go that I can see. So I don't think extended family is covered under that. But keep in mind, this stuff changes all the time. So what the original bill was and what it ends up being in the end can be a totally different thing, really. And so I think it makes sense because they have information nobody else has. Insider trading is already illegal. But the problem is they don't punish each other when they break these laws and things. And, you know, they'll put together an investigative committee and they'll do this, they'll do that. And you know, they don't have to prosecute anybody. And I thought it was interesting that Nancy Pelosi yesterday, when asked about it, said, well, when that happens, they're prosecuted.
Well, right.
They didn't prosecute you, Nancy. So, you know, it's interesting. There are things in there, too, though, that are interesting because it's largely self-reporting. So some of the language in the bill says each member of Congress annually will submit a form that just says, I've complied with this. And then there will be a committee that will put it on a public website. So they're going to report themselves. They're going to say, I didn't do this. The committee will put it on a government website and say, there you go. Nobody in Congress is doing insider trading or has purchased or sold stock.
Nothing to see here. They're all good. You know, please
that's
disperse.
Exactly it.
Please disperse. Well, you know, how does that wouldn't solve the Joe Bidens of the world that just kicked this thing to his entire organized crime family, his brothers and their wives? And everything. If you just had it for the member and a spouse, of course, there's any different number of ways to get around that. The only thing, George, from being in law enforcement, I can tell you the only way you stop this is, number one, have this type of law in place. But then you've also got to prosecute people. You've got to take three or four or five of these people and actually prosecute them over, and that will make them stop. They'll find another way to get their legalized bribery in, because they always do. But as long as they're not ever going to prosecute anybody, people just keep doing it.
Well, and here's the other thing. So what is the punishment? Because in the bill, at one point, and I don't know if it's still the same, they're subject to a civil fine. A fine.
Oof.
A fine.
Would that be that proverbial slap on the wrist?
If I'm Nancy Pelosi and I just made $70 million on a transaction, I don't know what kind of fine you can give me, but I'll take my chances with that. I mean, see, that's what they're going to say. So it's self-reporting, and if they do find out that you did it, then some committee's going to say, well, you owe this fine for non-compliance. So, you know, I don't, even if they pass it, I don't know that there's going to be any punishment in this or even teeth in it. I think it's largely ceremonial. I don't think it means a hell of a lot. I really don't. Just anything that it refers to members of Congress, it's probably not going to be that bad.
No. And you notice that, like you made the point, okay, this is what the bill is proposed, but by the time it gets spit out the other end, how watered down will it be anyway? You remember last year when, or was it 2 years ago, when they were re-upping FISA? Yes. And, of course, the Republican Congress, along with Meg Jensen, got in there and helped the FBI renew FISA when it had been abused beyond belief, and the FBI had abused their power beyond belief. But still, our Republicans, even though they campaigned on they were going to stop the crooked FBI, they just gave them that power anyway. Do you remember what they did in that? They wrote themselves a carve-out in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to where if they were going to be investigated under FISA, they had to get notified.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that's great. That's, if they're going to be investigated, they have to be notified.
Yeah.
Yeah, ahead of time. Get rid of any evidence or anything. You know, yeah, I don't know. It's nuts. But we all know that it's a two-tiered system of justice in this country. If you serve in Congress, you and your family live under different rules than all the rest of us.
You know the old song. I keep coming back to the old song, Dirty Laundry.
Yeah.
You don't really want to know what's going on. You don't really want to know how far it's gone. And I tell you, I know you're just like me. You're following this stuff minutely every day. It is a burden to know exactly what these people are doing, because once you know it, you want the whole place burned down.
Yeah, well, that's true. And, you know, I remember I used to walk around. I was in the military, and I walked around for years, even as a kid especially, because back then everybody was proud of our country, as you should be. But, you know, I walked around not knowing all the stuff that was going on. And then when I found out, I was like, man, I wish I didn't know all this stuff. I was a lot happier before I knew what was really going on.
I said that on one of our spaces. I said, I'd like to go back to 1995 when I didn't know all this stuff.
Yeah.
When I still thought there was men in smoke-filled rooms somewhere making sure the trains ran on time. You know, honest, serious men, right? We'll be right back with more Montana Talks.
Fox Sports Update.
He keeps raking.
Down a fly ball. This carries back. It keeps carrying back. It is gone! Cal Raleigh with a rainmaker just over the wall in right field.
Seattle's Cal Raleigh with his MLB-leading 42nd home run on Roots Sports Northwest. Raleigh now holds the record for home runs by a switch-hitting catcher. The Mariners beat the Rangers 6-0. Now, the Braves outlasted the Reds 12-11 in 10 innings, but it was a crazy, crazy game. Game was tied at 3 in the 8th inning. The Braves, they scored 8 runs. Then Cincinnati with 8 straight hits, they scored 8 runs. A wild, wild game there. Meanwhile, in New York, the Yankees winning their third straight game. They beat the Rays 7-4. Now, all of this happening on trade deadline day. 35 trades in all, 50 over 2 days. In fact, in the middle of that Yankees game, shortstop Jose Caballero got traded from the Rays to, you guessed it, the Yankees. Caballero, he's tied for the MLB lead in stolen bases. San Diego Padres burned up the phone lines. They made some several key acquisitions. They got first baseman Ryan O'Hearn, now fielder Ramon Laureano from the Orioles. They also got closer Mason Millen and starter J.P. Sears from the Athletics. And they picked up a catcher from the Royals, Freddie Fermin. All-star Carlos Correa headed back to Houston. He waived his no-trade clause with the Twins. Also back, football. The Chargers roll over the Lions 34-7 in the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. And from the NFL, what would it be without a wide receiver unhappy? Terry McLaurin, he wants a new deal with the Commanders. Otherwise, he wants a trade, and he has requested one. I'm Frank Lanza.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
This is...
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we are back here with Montana Talks with George Blackard. And just funny coincidence is I had on my stack of stuff to talk about the very topic that George wanted to get into. Is that, have you guys been paying attention to this horrific racial mob beat down the other day in Cincinnati of an elderly white couple? It's on video. It is just horrendous. And I got to tell you, though, it didn't really surprise me. And I'll tell you why, because if I'm out here on social media every day and I see the videos every week coming out of somewhere, and it goes all the way from elementary school to elementary school kids all the way up to elderly people. And every week in this country are the victims of these vicious racial mob beatdowns, and nothing ever happens. Whereas if this were the opposite, if this were whites doing this to blacks, it would be a scandal of proportions. Like, you know, Jake Tapper would have to come on live, and CNN and MSNBC would be running these clips on a loop all day long, demanding that everybody involved be prosecuted. And what a racist country we are. But I got some audio that Caden has got queued up from, and this right here is the mother of one of the straight A students that was involved in this beatdown.
And on the video, he said, "You want to mess with these Russians?" And he smacked the first guy, you know. But it wasn't like they thugs. My child is in school. He had 5 kids. He's on the B honor roll in school. And he's not the thug that they put out in there to be.
Now, if you remember, Chief Terry Thege said that anyone who used their hands to intend harm will be facing consequences no matter what side of the fight. So we will be looking out for more arrests.
Well, yeah. You know, yeah. What I pick up there, too, with the last part of it was anyone who used their hands. Well, what about the ones that were stomping on their heads? See, typically that gets an extra consideration and takes it to another level if you stomp on someone's head. So let's talk about that. They didn't even mention that.
That's aggravated assault is what that is. It's aggravated assault, and you can have, you know, bodily injuries involved. Did you see the picture of the woman?
Oh, yeah. She looks terrible. That was bad, you know. But anytime you have someone stomping on someone's head, that's trying to inflict the most damage that they can to someone, and without having something in your hands, a weapon to do it. Your foot becomes the weapon, and they repeatedly stomp that guy. And it's interesting because there was a story at Fox News that said as of Thursday, 3 major broadcast networks had not covered it at all.
Of course not.
And that includes ABC's Good Morning America, World News Tonight, CBS News Mornings, CBS Evening News, NBC's Today, and Nightly News. None of them covered this. And so it doesn't push the narrative that they like to push. And that's why you don't see these. But like you said, if you're on social media and you look at the news the way that we do, you see this type of thing all over the place.
It's happening every week. And interesting little side to this is it came out real quick that one of these guys that was involved in the beatdown, he had just been arrested a month ago for another assault charge, which he got out on a $400 bond on, got out on that, and then was involved in this racial mob beatdown. So I said the other day, before on our spaces, I said, this is a career criminal right here. I guarantee you, anybody that would be in jail 1 month and come back right back out the next month and be involved in something like this is a career criminal. Well, sure enough, you know, the mama, you just heard her voice here, her kid, you know, who's got 5 kids and is just a good boy,
a
good boy. He has a conviction for robbery, criminal possession of a firearm, and was just recently arrested for receiving stolen property.
Oh, he's a saint.
These guys that did this are career criminals who, you know, these big cities, these big blue cities are never putting them in jail, never keeping them in jail, never giving them prison time. So they're just allowed to roam the streets and victimize you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the crazy thing is, so the mayor takes off. You know, there are a lot of people that involved in that city that wanted to ignore this and hoped it just died down and went away really fast. But, you know, we've got senators or members of Congress that are, you know, it's drawing their attention and they're saying, hey, where were all you people? Where are you now? So what are you going to do about this? But that's a great point right there, what you said. You know, she said he's a not a thug. He's a B student. He's in school trying to make work. I don't know what kind of school he's in, but five kids. I mean, how old is this guy?
Oh, I didn't get the ages, and a lot of times they won't share that personal data about people out here, you know, because it's just protocol. But yeah, you know right away anybody that's participating in this kind of stuff. I mean, it's because I did this for so long, I recognize the profile. And did you see the chief of police?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh my goodness, you got to go look that up. The chief of police comes out, and it is once again Granny Clampett. All right, you remember the New Orleans chief of police? This is yet another example of Granny Clampett, I don't know how old she's got to be, in her 60s, female, obviously probably member of the LGBTQ LMNOP pride a group, another DEI hire, who came out in a public statement and lectured all of us, told us we didn't understand the context of that video, and it was wrong for us to be portraying it how we were.
I do remember seeing that, now that you say it like that. Yeah, DEI is the critical point in that, and we've seen that over and over and over. I mean, this isn't the first one. California, several of these. Fire chief, a police chief. It's we could go there too. So this DEI thing, we see the result of that here in this instance when a light gets shined on it unexpectedly, right? Because a lot of these people are going to cruise through there, not have anything happen, not say anything, and they'll make it through there and it'll be fine. But the thing that gets me is, you know, our government's cracking down on the DEI with colleges and different corporations in America, suddenly dropped it like a hot potato, you know, when President Trump got into office, except they didn't, because they're still doing it. They're just doing it under a different name. And there was an article I saw yesterday about a university, and the DEI manager admits, oh, yeah, we're still doing it, and this is how we do it. Right. So I don't know. There has to be, if you're going to have a rule, I guess you need to have a punishment for it. But
one of my favorite sayings is, I've been saying out here for years, is communists never stop on their own. They must be stopped.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't matter what the Trump administration does out here and says and all this stuff, until you have their DOJ or say somebody from Civil Rights Division, get them, sue them, and get a court order against them to make them stop. They're just going to keep doing it. They're never going to stop on their own. They never have. They never will.
Yeah, especially not at a university. Are you kidding me? These are the most far left radical type of people there are. And so they're thumbing their nose at the government, of course, except for the ones that got these $1 million fines, right? They supposedly snap to you pretty fast, and that's how you hurt them, is you go for their pocketbook, and that's where it gets their attention. But it's time for the government to quit giving all this money to these universities that do not have our country's best interest at heart. They don't have the students' best interest at heart. All they're trying to do is create almost a cyborg that just goes with what they tell them. This is the collective. This is what you need to say and do. And they're turning these kids out left and right. I don't know. They don't need our money, tax money.
I tell you the big difference, George, that I saw coming up in government. I saw for, you know, going back into the 90s, you always saw the affirmative action hires, right? The people that, you know, the only reason they're on the job here is because of what color they are, what sex they are, and all that. You saw it plays. I saw these people get moved through the academy. Academy when it should have been washed out, all that stuff. But you saw pretty quickly, bosses and management, if they see incompetence, then they take that person and put them off to the side, some desk job where they can't do any harm. Right. Just get them out of the way, right? You know? But see, today, under Biden, this went to a factor of 11. Today, these people are put in very, very important positions of a lot of power and responsibility. And boy, they every single time they screw up, every single time. That lady, the chief of police of Cincinnati, she's been sued by white police officers for discriminating against them.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It'd be interesting to hear more about that and see what that's all about. But, you know, it reminds me years and years ago, and this sticks out in my mind. You remember that old TV show ER?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You remember? And they had the one doctor who was just an arrogant jerk. And he was always better than everybody else until one day he was looking at his file and he found out he was actually an affirmative action hire. You know, and I thought, wow, I can't believe they're like going with that storyline on this, you know, back then. But you wouldn't see him do it now. But it's just affirmative action didn't work back then, and it doesn't work today.
What was the famous quote from Martin Luther King? Judge a man by the content of his character.
Right. Not the color of his skin.
Not the color of his skin. You're seeing this everywhere. I think what a lot of us do, like the people of Cincinnati, they probably think that it's just my town who has a, you know, completely screwed up police chief. But then you find out it's everywhere, man. I mean, everywhere across the country, in every big blue city, they have done this to every single position of power. Well, we are coming up to the music here. We got a countdown, and we'll be right back here with more of the man, George Blackard, here on Freedom Friday on Montana Talks.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We should get some of these. Aaron and I say this all the time. Our off-air discussions are sometimes better than the on-air stuff. But you brought up something at the break about you've seen something down in Colorado with ICE and Sanctuary.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So there's a law down there that Colorado passed. I don't know where they come up with this stuff, but it forbids local law enforcement to share things with the feds. And there were two deputies that were placed on leave because they shared some information with the feds. There was one instance where a deputy pulled someone over. They were, I think, on an expired visa, maybe. And anyway, they noticed that something wasn't right, and it wasn't their job to do anything about it. So he gave them the ticket, did whatever he did, and sent them on their way, and then they let the feds know, hey, there's a person with expired visa or whatever it was driving this car down this road, and they went and pulled her over and arrested her. And so he got in trouble for that, for sharing information with the feds. And I don't know. It's amazing to me how politicians can be so against law enforcement and enforcing the law. And that's what they're supposed to do, is enforce the law. Of course, they're going to say, well, we created a law that says you can't do that. But again, is that right? I don't think so.
Well, unfortunately, you know, we have in this country the states' rights, and the federal government is different from that. And your local police department or sheriff's department, they can do that. They are not obligated by law to share things with ICE. But see, ask yourself, I always tell this to Aaron, WWDD, what would Democrats do? Okay, you know, if this was a Democrat administration and they weren't being cooperated with, what would they do? They would start stripping you of your federal funding because, yeah, you don't have to cooperate with us. No, you don't. But we don't have to cooperate with you either.
Right.
Like, you find where they're vulnerable. Find where that mayor or that city council is vulnerable, and you grab it and you squeeze.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Here, I think it kind of depends on what it is. So we already know that marijuana is still legal federally, but all these states, you know, made it legal like we did. So they're going against federal law with that. So I guess there's that. But when it's something like immigration and somebody that shouldn't be in this country to begin with, to me, that puts it in a different category, especially when we're in the middle of a crisis where we have millions and millions of people that have come to this country in the last few years. And there are some bad people in this group of illegal aliens. I like using that term, the old school one, but that are here. So I don't know. I like states' rights. I do. And maybe, you know what? If you like that thing, move to Colorado if that's your deal. See, I like that, too. I like that we can move to any state that aligns with our values that we want to.
No papers?
No, you don't need them to cross the state line. Nope.
No Hunt for Red October reference right there.
Exactly.
It's critical out there, and I'll tell you how we used to do it is immigration and ICE was our fallback, and that's what it should be with all law enforcement that is federal, state, local, and that I come up upon some criminals. And it happens all the time. I grab them up, and for whatever reason, this happens to your troopers out here, it happens to everybody, I don't have a charge that I can actually arrest these people on right now. I know that they did this thing, but I can't charge them with it.
Right.
But see, I also know they're illegals. And so guess what? I'm going to call that ICE office and say, I got these people. I'm going to bring them to you. I'm going to cart them to you right now. You get them out of here. That's the way for law enforcement across the board encountering these illegal aliens is a way for them to then turn them over. It makes them a force multiplier for ICE.
Yeah, well, it does. And, you know, I think I try and put myself in law enforcement's position and look at this stuff. And how frustrating is it when you arrest somebody that's broken the law, clearly, rightfully so, you arrest them. And then nothing happens to them, and which is like in New York and California, a lot of places where, you know, they don't put them in jail even. And they let them go under their own recognizance, you know, just be in court on this date. And it's crazy. I mean, there was a guy recently who beheaded a woman, stuffed her in a cooler, and they arrested him, and he walked like that day, and so somebody else arrested him right after he walked out of the building. But there was a judge that was letting this guy go, and it's crazy that happens.
I want to hear anybody explain to me, any kind of, if anybody Democrats out there, if you're listening to the show, call in and explain to me why you've got an illegal alien that's already committed a crime by coming into our country, and now he's in your local jail down here because he has committed additional crimes on U.S. soil. Call in here and tell me why you want him out on the street. Anybody, any person listening to this broadcast, if you want that person out here on the streets, call in and tell me why. I'd like somebody to explain that to me.
Yeah, I would too, because I have a feeling that if I committed the same crime, I'm staying in there.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to let me walk.
Oh, absolutely.
So much for my white privilege. You know, it's it's kind of hard, John, sometimes being a white Christian male in this country. You know, I don't know. But that's what I mean. They would rather have somebody that's not even from this country, that's not a citizen. They would get more breaks than you or I would get. And it's just like politicians' kids. They don't get punished, not like you and I or our kids would. And that's the thing. My daughter, I was talking to her one day, and she goes, "Why do you care so much about what happens to Hunter Biden?" I said, "Because I don't like the fact that you would be treated differently than him, that he would get a walk and you wouldn't." And it made her think a little bit, you know.
Well, did you see him the other day? He came out on the shows.
he can't stay out of the spotlight. He loves it. Whether it's good or bad, I think. He just eats it up.
Oh, and throwing all the F-bombs and talking all that trash. And my take on that was, okay, look at the time frame. Here he is 6 months after Trump got elected, 9 months after Kamala lost. And that's the time he picks to come out and flamethrow everybody?
Yeah.
You know why?
Right.
It's because he couldn't get into the money. They've given him the shoulder. They've given him the Heisman. He can't get plugged into the money. So now what the hell, I'm just going to flame everybody.
Yeah, that, and, you know, he's got a preemptive pardon for anything else that he might have done. So he can get out and say whatever he wants to do. He's just thumbing his nose at them going, here I am, I'm going to say all this stuff, and you can't do anything to me.
Nothing more dangerous than a crackhead with a pardon, right? Hey, speaking of that, we got a caller here on line one. We got, let's see, Thomas in Billings. What's up, Thomas?
How we doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Well, I just spent the last 18 weeks in Quantico. I am a Republican. I am not a liberal, so I can't speak on their social disorder. But when it comes to arresting illegal immigrants, or what I say, illegal aliens, what happens is you have Biden-appointed judges in the districts, and there are a lot of them. And we have here in Montana, we have a very liberal Supreme Court. What happens is you have mayors, you have ICE, you have local sheriff's departments. They're trying to pit our local law enforcement against federal law enforcement. So when they call ICE or they call the FBI, they say, well, just let them go. Our hands are tied. Well, local law enforcement, by the Constitution, is not allowed to, you know, go against federal law. Federal law enforcement says release them. They have to release them. The county attorneys, the liberal county attorneys have to release them. So, I mean, you have this. The problem is, and like I said, I spent 18 weeks in Quantico. We need to get local law enforcement. Local law enforcement, the Constitution says, it is clear with the Constitution. You know, local law enforcement can't not go against federal law enforcement. Immigration laws are the law. They are federal law. Local law enforcement, they cannot release them. You know, there's been cases where in Texas,
Hey, Thomas, we got the break coming up. Thank you very much for your call. We're going to talk about that, myself and George, when we get back from the break. That is a very good point you're bringing up about what is the law and what do locals have to do with federal law. That's a good point. We'll get into it right when we get back.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The Durham Annex, as it has been released, it is complicated, but it's really not complicated. What we're now learning is that all of this was manufactured with the knowledge and consent of the top people inside of government, all to hurt Donald Trump and aid Hillary Clinton, first in her election and against Donald Trump in 2016. When that didn't work, then to basically set a trap and sabotage, and it ended up working 3 years of Donald Trump's first term. And then the use of lawfare and the weaponization of the DOJ. I mean, everything that they could possibly do to destroy Trump happened. It's real.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. It's no secret. I have been very outspoken ever since I was able to save money. I've been a longtime buyer of precious metals like gold and silver. In fact, I've been purchasing them for many decades now, and I'm so glad that I have. But who do I choose to help safeguard my money? Here's the deal. I've been with the award-winning precious metals dealer Gold Co. for years now. I am a customer of Gold Co., and I was frankly relieved to find a great company that I trust and that I have stuck with, and they stick with me for the long haul. They keep it simple, and they've taught me a whole lot about the value of precious metals and how they can help protect your savings. I simply want you to call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. They'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer, and you're not going to want to miss that one. Trust me. Anyway, call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com today. Hey.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Foligno. Luke Bryan is the latest artist to get hit by a flying object on stage. The country star and American Idol judge was performing his final song at the North Dakota State Fair Sunday when a mini plush ball was tossed and hit him mid-song. Video posted on TikTok shows the 49-year-old briefly stepping back before shaking it off and finishing the performance without missing a beat. One fan captioned the clip, "Carried on like a champ." Another slammed the incident online, writing in part, "There's no excuse for this." Bryan joins a growing list of artists targeted on stage in recent years, most notable pop star Bebe Rexha, who was hit in the face with a phone in 2023. I swear. And John Michael Montgomery is going back home to play his final show. The country legend announced that his last show is scheduled for December 12th at the Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Everyone.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
Hey, this is John Jackson back here with George Blackard. To answer the previous caller's question, Thomas, that's a real nuanced thing he was talking about right there. So, okay, if a local law enforcement out there comes up on an illegal alien, and that is a violation of federal law, unfortunately, he is not duty-bound to arrest that person or do anything about it. That's federal law. And it applies to federal agencies. They are the ones that have that jurisdiction right there. He's not duty bound to do anything. Only time he's duty bound is if he was to run that person through the computer and there's a warrant, there's a federal warrant out for that guy for whatever, then he is duty bound by law to execute that warrant. Doesn't matter if it's sanctuary city, wherever, and that's an immigration warrant, he's duty bound to execute that right there. But George, we were talking on the break there about the Trump nominees. I know you wanted to get into that.
Yeah, so he mentioned these Biden-appointed judges, and it made me think of this. You know, the Democrats right now are holding up all of Trump's nominations, and these are nominations to important cabinets and offices and things like that. Not just judges, they're holding up every nomination, and they are not defending and protecting our country by causing trouble and holding up nominations and doing all that. In fact, that goes against our country. And if the Republicans were doing this, the national media would be all over this, and they'd be harping on it. But now that it's the Democrats doing it to the Republicans, to a Republican president, the national media is not even talking about it. And that's, you know, an obvious difference.
Show you this graph that President Trump put out on True Social, I think it was yesterday. This shows you the graph of the presidents going back, and it says the percentage of civilian nominees confirmed by voice vote or unanimous consent in the first term. And you got old man Bush, 98, Clinton, 98, W. Bush, 90, Obama, 90, Trump first, 65%, then Biden, 57%, and right now, as we stand 6 months, 7 months into the Trump term, zero. Not one Trump nominee has been given the courtesy that is an established procedure up there
of the voice,
voice vote and unanimous consent.
Yep. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. So, you know, these politicians that are doing that, and, you know, it's crazy because Schumer said it publicly. Pelosi said it publicly. I think AOC said it publicly that they're going to do everything they can to disrupt him and his doing business. They're going to make it difficult so that he can't do what he needs to do. And they said that out loud. You know, that used to be the quiet part. And now they're saying it out loud because nobody's paying attention. It's crazy that they can get away with that.
It amazes me how this only goes on against Republicans, and particularly against Trump. And you know why they do this, George? For one reason. They know it's never going to get done back to them. That's why. If they thought that the next Democrat president would be subject to this treatment by Republicans in the Senate, they wouldn't do it. But they know it's never been done back to them.
That's true. That's a good point. You know, and it's just the craziness of it is just like when the Democrats either vote for or against the filibuster. You know, so when they're in office, they don't want it. But when Republicans are, they want to use it, and they want to use it and use it and use it. So when you look back in history on that and many other things, procedural type of things, they're for it when it benefits them. They're against it when it doesn't. And so every 4 years, they go back and forth, back and forth. And when they're against it, they scream about it. And it's like, hey, dummies, you did the same thing a couple years ago.
And they don't even worry about being accused of hypocrisy anymore because it's just orange man bad, Republicans bad. So anything we do to them is completely justified. Yeah. Well, there is the voice. Our man, George Blackard, here for Freedom Friday. We'll be right back after the top of the hour.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
KBUL.